Well, good morning. How are y'all doing? Blessed, I love it. You survived Christmas. Congratulations. It's good to see you all, and I understand that you all had a great Christmas Eve service, and so I understand at the 5 p.m. service, you had like a little Christmas pageant, yes? So you had like all the angels and Mary and Joseph, and baby Jesus is in the house. I just love him, right? And so I don't know what it is, but I always just get so excited about Christmas Eve and the celebration of Jesus being born. And when I was working at my church in Esparto a while back, it was always great whenever we could have an actual baby, right? It's so much better when there's an actual baby rather than having baby Jesus be a doll. And sometimes I think that there was one year where we couldn't find a doll. We had a Mickey Mouse stuffed animal, and like we had to like sort of dress up baby Jesus. And there was this one year where we didn't have a baby, but it was kind of close. Baby Jesus was about a year and a half, right? And so baby Jesus, his sister was actually Mary, you know, so she's probably like 8 years old. So she comes in carrying her little brother, you know, baby Jesus, in. And because she's kind of little herself and he's a little big, she just plopped him in the manger, just walked up and put him in. And so the service was going on. I don't know, about halfway through it, he got bored. And so he decided, I'm done. And so he got out of the manger and walked away. So, and I think maybe if Jesus knew what was going to really happen in his life, he'd be like, all right, I'm done. I'm getting out of the manger and I'm walking away. And sometimes if there's some signs that we could see that could say what's going to be happening, that, you know, we would think twice about things. But that's what's so amazing about Jesus is that, you know, Jesus was aware of what was going to be coming, and he still stayed in the game. And a girlfriend of mine used to work at a church in New York City, and whenever she would try to get out to, like, go to the Hamptons for, like, a holiday, she said the traffic got worse and worse as times that she was trying to, you know, get out and leave. And there was one day she thought she had left, and you know, with enough time, and she didn't. And the sign said on the side of the road, it said, caution, traffic, and aggravation ahead. So it'd be so nice if we could have these kinds of signs that we could be aware of. And this is what I really love about this scripture this morning, is that Simeon, he's an old man, and he's been waiting for the Messiah to come. He's been waiting to hear that the redemption of Israel is about to be here, and may he be able to live to be able to see it. So imagine Mary and Joseph, they're very tired. All right, so us ladies who have had babies, yes, we're tired. And the dads, too, you're tired, too, because you don't want to hear your partners complain. Because that's what we're doing. And the baby's been up all night. And whoever, God help me, whoever said that a drummer boy should be in there playing his drum isn't the last thing that a mother wants, right? And she's, you know, they're exhausted, they're tired. In the Jewish tradition, you take your child to the temple, and your child does not have a name for 8 days. So why is that? You're waiting for the child to be old enough, because it's on the 8th day that the child will be circumcised, and then you will name the child. And you have to bring a sacrifice. So do you know what the sacrifice is when you bring your child to a temple to be named, to the temple? 2 turtle doves. So that's where we get that. And the 12 days of Christmas, 2 turtle doves, it's because that's what's needed to be sacrificed to be able to bring your child to be named. So the mother and the father, Mary and Joseph, they're there. They've brought their 2 turtle doves. They brought their child. They're exhausted, but they're happy, excited. You can imagine all this energy. But then Imagine what happens that they've named their baby after what the angel says to them, right? Remember? You shall name your baby Jesus. They've named the baby. And imagine if you're there and then someone you don't even know walks up and takes your baby out of your arms and says, "This will be the redemption. This is what Israel has been looking for. This is the sign. This is the light of the world." Wouldn't you be like, "Whoa, like what is going on here?" And the scripture says that they were amazed. And then this is what he says, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you promised. I have seen your salvation for which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." And then the scripture goes on to say that Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother. So imagine if you're this mother, right, hearing this and someone saying this about your kid. "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him." Remember the baby in the manger that got out and walked away? "But many will oppose him." And this is also what I love. "As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." The deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. This was a very special Christmas. I'm sure you all sang Silent Night. Are you all aware that it is the 200th anniversary of the writing of Silent Night? It's beautiful. Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm. All is mild. I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. Round young virgin, mother and child. It's so beautiful, and it's a song that we've known throughout the ages. This is also a very significant Christmas because it's the 100th anniversary of the war to end all wars. 1918 was the ending of World War I. And I'm sure many of you have heard the story that on a Christmas Eve, that there was a time when the Germans and the British, they were fighting against one another, and they were so entrenched with what was happening. And they were probably like about literally 30 yards away from each other in their foxholes. And they were in the stalemate of this fight. And it was Christmas Eve. So imagine these young men. They're tired. They're cold. They're missing their families. They're away from home. They're scared. They're starving. And one of them starts singing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is mild." So one of them starts singing in German. Another starts singing in English. They didn't know each other's languages, but they knew what they were singing. And they began to sing all in chorus all night long this beautiful hymn. So you want to know what happened after that? They came up out of their foxholes. They came up out of their trenches. And they came up out of hiding. And they saw each other, not as foes, but as brothers. And then they started pulling out pictures of their family and pictures of their children and pictures of their loved ones. And then they started sharing candy and sweets among each other. You want to know what they did after that? They played soccer. They played soccer all night long. And they became friends with each other. And then as the sun came up, guess what they did? They hugged one another and they said goodbye. And they went back into their foxholes and their trenches. It was the one night on earth where truly there was world peace. Couldn't we use a little world peace at this time? couldn't we use some hope, some love, some joy, some light, all of the themes of which we are called to do during the season of Christmas? And here Simeon is so excited, saying, the light has come. The light is here. There's a sign. There's a child. And I love what happens in the lectionary, because on the first Sunday, there's usually an apocalyptic scripture that is typically read. And it's about the stars and the moon and the, you know, heavens are all falling into chaos. And I love the way that Eugene Peterson translates it. And it's from Luke 21. And the way it's translated is, it will feel as if all hell is breaking loose. Doesn't it feel like in our country right now, sometimes feels like all hell is breaking loose? And even in our world, it feels like all hell is breaking loose. Now's a time where we could love to have unity and oneness and joy and peace. But even what's happening with nature, I can't stop thinking about the campfire. Talk about all hell breaking loose. I'm sure many of you maybe have had friends that lost their homes, have heard stories, but we've all been affected by the campfire, right? The smoke that was down here in Sacramento, it was terrible. Had the worst headaches that were going on. Well, an old parishioner of mine had marked herself on Facebook as safe when all that fire took off on November 8th. And I sent her a message saying, oh, thank God. I'm so glad to hear that you're safe. And then she wrote back to me and she said, no, you don't understand. I got out, but my house burned down. And along with my three cats. And so I was like, oh, I called her immediately. And I said, where are you? She said, I'm in the middle of Walmart. And I'm trying to buy clothes so that I can go to work tomorrow. So we had time together, you know, just kind of, I didn't want to take up her time as she's trying to get herself organized. Well, she went from Paradise to Chico, then Chico to Oroville. And then Oroville, the fire had jumped. Oroville was then evacuated. She was driving down to Sacramento, and she said, Pam, the smoke here is so bad, I can't even see the car in front of me. I have no place to go. Can we just get together for a cup of tea? And I'm like, of course. So she came to our house, and for 2 hours, she shared with my husband and I the horrific story of her trying to get out of her house. And it's a miracle that she got out with the way the fire was moving. And after she had told us all about what had happened, we took a collective breath and just breathed. And I said, I need to give you a heart. And she said, Pamela, no, you don't. So a couple years before, I'd done a women's retreat. And I gave out these cloth hearts that I would give to the women. And then people would go around and say, you know, would you hold my heart? And then someone would hold the heart and then pray over it. And then they would take their heart back. So then it would be like their heart was packed full of prayers. And she lost everything. And I said, I need to get you a heart. She's like, no, Pamela, you don't. I'm like, yes, I do. And it goes back and forth. Yes, you do. No, you don't. So I'm searching through some drawers. And then she comes up behind me and she goes, Pamela, you don't need to give me a heart because I still have it. The only thing she grabbed was her purse. And she said, I take my heart with me everywhere. So then I blessed it, and I blessed her, and I gave her heart back. And she said, this means more to me than you know. And the scripture says, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A month later to the day, on December 8th, my husband, my daughter, and I, we went back with her to her burned-down house and the rubble and the ashes and the despair. We hadn't even, my husband and I, we hadn't even gotten our suits on because there's so much asbestos, right? We hadn't even got our suits on or gloves. And Lori calls out and she goes, "Pamela, you're not going to believe it." And she pulled out a cookie cutter. A cookie cutter that survived. Guess what shape the cookie cutter was? The shape of a heart. Even in the midst of the ashes, the fire, and the extreme, and the rubble, and the despair, and the heartache, the heart survived. The heart survived. My dear brothers and sisters, during this season, as we move into a new year of 2019, don't we want a little more heart? Don't we want a little bit more of Jesus? Don't we want a sign to tell us and to show us that help is on its way? A baby is born. My dear brothers and sisters, I have good news for you. A baby has come, and his name is Jesus. And I want you to go do something. I want you to go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And all of God's people said, amen.